So welcome to my talk, and I want to shortly introduce myself before I begin with the topic. My name is Mark Balmer, and I have a very long track record with Unix. I worked for Atari Corporation in the early 90s, where I was responsible for Unix and transputer systems, but I didn't like the job too much, and I founded my own company, Microsystems, around 91. This company focuses on Unix solutions, Unix development, and all kinds of services around Unix. I've been a lecturer and member of the board of Hyperwerk. That's an institution dealing with new media of the University of Applied Sciences in Basel. Was responsible for all the IT stuff there, which comes natural. I'm also a developer for the OpenBSD project. OpenBSD is a highly secure and free operating system that stems from the directly from the Berkeley code base. In OpenBSD, I'm doing mostly ports work. I'm responsible for example, the Samba port, but also for OpenLDAP, CUPS, and like about 30 other important ports which I use in my work for Microsystems. I'm doing also some stranger things in OpenBSD, like Pentium M, enhanced speed stepping, discrimination of processors, watchdog timers, and lately we added time sensors to our operating system. Sensors that provide a time delta between the local time and a real time that's captured using time signal station receivers. So I'm doing mostly hardware related things in OpenBSD. The topic of this talk is fully automated file services for public schools. To be exact, it's the public schools of Basel in Switzerland. It's a long-time customer of mine. 6 years ago, they were a pure Windows shop. They had Windows PCs in every school and a big terminal server farm. It was really only Microsoft and nothing else was thinkable until Microsoft changed license policies and it got really expensive for a school to continue this way. And they wanted to use something cheaper and go the open source way, and for a start they wanted to build up a server with material for teachers, and they asked me, teach us Unix, we want to do something on Linux for ourselves. I taught them Linux and for quite some time, and when they were proficient enough to set up a server and maintain it, they asked me to do it for them. So that was their first exposure to open source software like 6 years ago. So there's a lot of development in this project. It started early with this first servers and it continued to grow and it still continues. I will give you a few numbers for a start. Basel is not a very big town, but we have like 20,000 students in all different school Stufen. We have around 3,500 teachers. And what's important in this context, we have a lot of change, of course. There's new child being born all the time, and all the students exiting the school system all the time. So we have like 1,000 changes each year, people coming into the school system, other people leaving the school system. And as you can imagine, this is one of the harder part to manage. This system cannot manually be managed. We have too many changes. We have, I think, around 500 PCs distributed in these schools, used for education services, but also used by the teachers to prepare their work. And what astonished me the most is that we actually have 80 schoolhouses in Basel. I didn't know it were that many until last summer, when we had to install firewalls in each schoolhouse. And we have one account for each student and teacher. So, talking about numbers, 20,000 accounts and 1,000 entries and exits per year, that means we need to have a solid life cycle management for our accounts. We cannot possibly do this by hand. This has to be automated to be somewhat economic. On the other side, we have only 500 PC clients, so this is not the most complicated Samba setup. It is, I would say, it's from a Samba point of view, it's probably a smaller installation. What they wanted to do in Basel is to give every student and every teacher an account, an email account, which they get when they enter the school system, typically on kindergarten age, and they keep this account and the associated email address for the whole time they're in the school, so for the first 12 years of their lives. The schools want basically to enable people to use the internet. So everyone in Basel has a at edubs.ch address. And this account that's behind this email address shall be used for all internet-related services. We're using BSCV, a collaboration tool suite. Ilias is used for e-learning and a lot of other smaller web applications. And the idea was one account for each person in the school system, and this account should enable all these internet-related services. We are not yet talking about file services, it's just using email and the web. At about the same time they had this idea of giving everyone an email address, there was another project, Nisuba, a new school management software developed, of course, on Windows, of course, with a MS SQL server, and of course, with a lots of problems. It was about at the same time introduced as we did these mail services, which we did purely on Unix, and we needed to integrate those two systems. The school management system run by the government and these mail services, which actually is run by us. And it was a funny experience working with a development company that develops only for Microsoft. They know nothing about any protocols, standards or so. It was really hard teaching them how to get data out of an MS SQL server in a way that we could use. I mean, it's funny, if you're living in an open world, if you're working with Unix all day long, you cannot imagine how one can possibly be so stupid to work on Microsoft products only. So, we built up a solid internet infrastructure. We have an LDAP directory, which has all the accounts for email services. And we synchronize this to the central administration database using a format that's called DSML. DSML is actually an XML application. It stands for Directory Services Markup Language. And it's just, it's like the LDIF format in XML. So it's an easy way to exchange directory data. And the last phrase here is of a certain importance. All the servers run on OpenBSD. That's to say, all servers that are exposed to the network somehow, that are exposed to students that like to play bad things with servers on the net, and of course all internet servers. I will give a very short plug why OpenBSD or what OpenBSD is, because most of you will probably work with Linux. OpenBSD is a free operating system like Linux. It is more free because it uses the BSD license, which is really free, not like the GPL, which takes you the freedom to withhold the source code. It's a descendant of the Berkeley 4.4 BSD Unix, and the focus of the OpenBSD product is on security and the free code. So security, you may have heard that we had only one remote exploit in 8 years in the default install. And the other focus on free security, you may have seen these t-shirts, blah, blah, blah. We're actually fighting against these small little blobs sneaking into operating systems in form of binary-only drivers, which you cannot debug, which you cannot fix. It's a small team. We're about 60 developers around the world, so I guess we're even smaller than Samba team.
Guess how many we are active?
100? 200?
10?
10?
More like 10.
10? Oh, that's good. Yeah, good quality for such a small team. Okay, what makes us so secure? We do active source code auditing, so actually we find the bugs in the software and we fix them, and the script kiddies use our fixes to break into Linux, which have the same bugs from time to time. We protect our very heavily against buffer overflows. We have a stack smash protector in the compiler enabled by default. And we have this thing we call write, XOR, execute for memory. Memory is either writable or executable, but never both. So if you sneak in some bad code and you can write it into memory, you will never be able to execute this code. Of course, this works only on platforms that support it. And we use safe functions like string lcopy, string lcat to do our string manipulations. Most of our services run privilege separated, and of course we only enable very few services by default. That makes us secure by default. So, back to the schools. Near the end of 2004, all the schools were equipped with new PCs, end of NT era, enter Windows XP. And the problem was the existing authentication scheme now did no longer work. They had a funny authentication system and the schools very secure. They had like 20 accounts for all the schools, student 1, student 2, student 3, student 4, blah, blah, blah. And the same for the teachers. They had a little bit more privileges. And of course, all had the same password. So, and then now with these new PCs, for technical and other reasons, they change to real personal accounts. So every student gets his account, every teacher gets his account, which I think is not too bad of an idea. Now, here is where Samba enters the Basel school system. Of course, they wanted to avoid to build yet another user database, and they asked us, since we were running already this LDAP directory for email services, if we could hook up authentication somehow to this directory. And then we told them, yes, there is something in the woods called Samba that might do the job. And we did a little feasibility study. We set up a server and hooked it up there, and made some tests with Siemens, another partner of the public schools. And we found out that Samba actually can be a server to Windows clients. So we recommended them to use Samba, but we knew from the beginning we need automation because of this high number of accounts we have. You have to remember, the accounts, the real data is managed not in the LDAP directory, but in this Windows tool, and it's synchronized with the LDAP tree. And they really wanted not to build up now a Windows infrastructure with their own user database and such. So this decision was made. We use Samba, but we don't use Active Directory. We just build up a domain, which of course simplifies things a lot. We even removed a small ADS that was in place during this project. We authenticate against the LDAP directory, and Samba shall provide the file services plus printing services in conjunction with CUPS. You may have heard of that. It's a common Unix printing system that comes in handy when you have to do something with printing. So there's, of course, some parts that are provided in the open source world. OpenLDAP, a directory service, Samba, which we all know, CUPS, the printing system, and OpenBSD, the most secure operating system, I forgot to write, in the world. So, but there's some missing parts for which we could not find ready-made solutions. That's synchronizing the accounts with the external source. That's this DSML synchronization to LDAP. And of course, the account lifecycle management in the form we needed it was not provided by any project. We need to automatically create an account and delete an account and so on and change them. So the model we choose is that an account has an associated state. And small tools like black boxes that are run in the background, they take all accounts of a certain state, like an account that has been just created and needs a home directory and a file server to put its files on. There is a small black box that just takes all these accounts that have been created newly, realizes the infrastructure on the server, creating the home directories and so on, and changes the state of the account in the LDAP directory. And we have a lot of these small ant-like worker programs that do work in the background for us. And they are executed, of course, as a cron job on the Unix from time to time, actually. Some every few hours, some only every few days or even weeks, depending on the job that has to be done. So when we create an account, we first synchronize using a highly protected, of course, web GUI with this Nezuba data. So the people actually send a file and it gets then synchronized. Accounts that are in this file but not in the directory are created in the directory. Accounts that are in the directory but not in these files are marked to be nuked. And when we have synchronized, there is, of course, the account created in LDAP directory. We have then to create the email store on the mail server. That's basically creating some sort of directory structure for the Vmail format we use. We have to create the file store on the file server. And we have to generate the password and print it. It's actually printed over a VPN line to a printer that's at the government. Passwords are never stored anywhere. They're just set, encrypted, stored in the LDAP tree, printed, and forgotten. When an account is needs to be deleted, we set an expiry date in the LDAP tree. When it expires, we archive the email store because this software is new. We don't know if it works. If it going to nuke us 20,000 accounts, we're in trouble, so we archive everything. We have to archive the file store, and we have to remove the account after 30 days. Just to give you an idea how we do this, we use Python for all these little batch scripts. They are not the nicest code I have ever seen, but they work for the moment. So it's a lot of these little thingies that use Python LDAP to access the LDAP directory, change state, and everything. LDAP itself, now that we have a Samba server, which is actually in a different location than the mail server, is replicated. The main LDAP directory is synchronized to a slave on the Samba server itself. We hope to gain a little speed by that. And updates on the Samba servers, meaning people changing their passwords, they get a LDAP redirection to the main server, where it gets updated and synchronized back to the Samba server. Sounds a bit weird, is a bit weird, but it works. And that's the reason why these two servers are connected by a 6 megabit link only, and that we synchronize the Samba, the LDAP server, gives us the additional security that the Samba server will still work when the email services fail. Okay, I'm coming to some conclusions. First, on the negative side, we have no NS switch-like mechanism to access user information in an LDAP tree in OpenBSD. That means we have to create real accounts on the Unix system, which is stupid, but there is no way around it for the moment, because we don't have a BSD license LDAP library, and as long as that's missing, we have to work with this bit shitty system. So that means also there's no WinBind on OpenBSD, so you have to sync twice if OpenBSD is the right platform for you to run a Samba server on. But then on the positive side, it's very secure, very mature. It has a defined release cycle, exactly 2 releases per year in May and November, so we can plan the updates and our customers can budget them. It's very easy to maintain a large number of servers. And because we maintain officially the Samba CUPS and Open LDAP ports, we are sure that we always get on the release CDs what we need for our customers. Now, in the future, we're thinking about rewriting those tools that do this lifecycle management in C, and maybe we're going to publish them under a BSD license, because we think that's something that could be useful for other larger sites. And at this point, I want to thank especially to the release manager of Samba, Jerry Carter, because you're doing really a fine job for a porter. When you see, would know how other guys like the Zoob guys do their release management, which is really horrid, it's always been a pleasure to maintain the Samba port. And with these words, I'm at the end of my talk, and I take questions.
You have to switch it on, I think, an obvious thing.
Yes. So I was curious about password synchronization. Does the SQL-based management system that runs on Windows have passwords in it, or are the only passwords maintained for accounts in the LDAP directory? I was confused on that part.
They don't have passwords. They're just the bare data, like the name, blah, 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 birth date, the role, if it's a teacher or student. So it's the basic data. And we have to add these passwords later.
Okay, so when you so you only deal with addition and deletion of accounts out of the SQL database, not with a dump of the database and rebuilding LDAP constantly.
They wrote a little plugin to their system that exports the data needed in this DSML format.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. I was a little confused on that. Thanks. Yep.
So I have a question. Does OpenBSD plan to have any mechanism to redirect the ATC password and ATC group? I mean, we have an AIX backend that is completely different from NS switch.
Yes, I guess we have to. There's no choice, because now we have like 1 year experience or 2 years with this synchronization thingy and creating these accounts. Of course, it works, but it's a hack. And we're actually looking into building a small client-only LDAP library, which we can include in the system. And I've already spoken with Theo about this, that That will happen sometime.
I'm not exactly talking about LDAP only. I'm talking about a general mechanism because what we have seen, WinBind cannot really enumerate stuff. And the NSS module interface in Linux and other Unixes, it kind of sucks because it's too narrow. For example, you can only ask for all users. You cannot say, okay, all users beginning with the letter B or whatever. So this might be, if you start from scratch, this might be some room for filling some new ideas on the general interface, whatever backend that might be.
Yeah, well, it's a good idea. The problem is you can sneak in all sorts of problem if you are like too reluctant, like the PAM, the PAM. It's something we deliberately choose not to include in the operating system. But you said you have some AIX stuff, which might be a starting point, or I would like to look at that.
I mean, the point is, Samba would certainly be able to plug into any mechanism that provides redirecting etc password and etc group lookups. Mm-hmm. So we are not exactly bound to the NS switch system as it stands there. Mm-hmm. So that's my question, if you have anything in your portfolio or are planning anything that might differ from NSWitch.
I think we might go the LDAP way first and maybe then...
And hook that directly into your libc without any redirect interface.
Yes, of course. You just use the normal Unix call to get a user ID and it does it in the background like NIS did.
Okay, thank you.
Does OpenBSD support POSIX ACLs?
Felix? No. Okay, we don't think we have ACLs. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, then. Thank you, Mark.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, now we have a break of an hour. Enjoy your lunch. It should be, if you go to the reception desk, it should be on the right-hand side from there. So, see you back in an hour.